would like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. We began studying earlier today about a question that Jehu asked Jehonadab as he met him. And I want to mention this, that Jehu was a great king of Israel, and Jehonadab was another great man of God, and both of them were fighting to try to restore righteous principles to the nation of Israel. They both had stood against the other gods of the world. They both had tried to do what was right. And then when they met each other, it would be almost like two soldiers who had been fighting in different areas. And then they came together and they greeted one another after having both been involved in a great battle in different areas. So Jehu and Jehonadab were both great men of God, great soldiers, honoring and glorifying God and tearing down the strongholds of Satan in Israel and trying to build up the altars of God and to restore righteousness to the nation of Israel. When Jehu saw Jehonadab, he said, this is in the middle of the verse. Let me just start with the beginning of the verse. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 15. The scripture says, and when he was departed thence, that is when Jehu had left the place he was at, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? Is my heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. Then he said, Jehu, I believe, said, if it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. The question that's been on my heart most all of this week, and the thoughts that have been on my heart have been relative to our hearts. Brother David asked that we sing after the morning worship service, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Brethren, that needs to be a prayer of our heart, that God will help us to be purer in heart. We cannot do better in our lives unless we identify areas that we need to improve. And if we will examine our hearts, the Word of God tells us that we need to examine our hearts, we need to purify our hearts. James says that we're to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the Word of God is just full of scriptures that teach about things that we must do in order for our hearts to be right. Jehu asked Jehonadab, is thine heart right? And I would say that there are two main ways that our hearts must be right. One is that our hearts must be right toward God. And the second way is that our hearts must be right toward people that are around us. Our hearts need to be right in both directions. I think sometimes people believe that their heart is right with God, but they're mad at everybody in the world, and that cannot be true. If your heart is not right with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and if your heart is not right with your family members, if your heart is not right toward your spouse and your children and your mother and your father, if your heart is not right to people that you love, if you don't love the brethren, then your heart is not right toward God. So we need to pray, God, help us open our eyes that we can see whether or not our hearts are right. Help us to identify ways, as the scripture said in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. We need to pray, God, help me to identify ways that I don't believe you. I don't trust in you. And I pray that God will help us to not depart from the living God. I pray that God will help us not to harden our heart. Brother David mentioned to me after the worship service this morning, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come or proceed the issues of life. If you don't keep your heart, now you understand that we're not talking about you keeping your heart so you can go to heaven when you die. That's not at all what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches, as far as our eternal security is concerned, that we are preserved in Christ Jesus and we're kept by the power of God. Our eternal destiny cannot be altered. However, our fellowship with God and the blessings we experience in this world, they are determined by whether or not we keep our hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Out of the heart. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. It's out of your heart, whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. So keep your heart right. Examine your heart. Examine your heart every day. It's been a long time since I have looked deep into my heart and my soul as much as I have this week. But listen, brethren, every day we need to pray, God, help me to examine my heart. Now, there are ways that you can identify that your heart is in good condition. Just like with a physical heart, there are tests that you can have that will help you determine, to the best of medical science's ability, that can help you determine whether or not your heart is in good shape. Likewise, spiritually, there are tests that you can have that will help you know whether or not your heart is in good shape. One of the ways is what we mentioned this morning, is that as the Word of God is preached, as the seed is sown, if you bring forth fruit to perfection in your life, that's an evidence that you've got a good heart. It's an evidence that your heart is right. Because the Scripture says that there are some people that when they hear the Word of God, the devil comes along and takes the Word of God right out of their hearts. But if you keep your heart and hold on to the Word of God, you'll be able to, the Scripture says, describes it in Luke 8, verse 15, that in an honest and a good heart, you receive the Word and you bring forth fruit to perfection in your life. That's an evidence that your heart is right, is when you're bringing forth fruit to perfection in your life. Now, tonight I want us to go to Romans chapter 10. Look in your Bibles, please, at Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. I believe that there is another evidence or another test that we can give in our lives, that we can take in our lives, that we can find out just whether or not our heart is right. The Apostle Paul's heart was right, brethren. His heart was right. You look at his life. You look at his words. You look at the sacrifices he made. You look at his commitment. You look at his dedication. You look at what he gave up. And you know that his heart, his affection, were set on things above rather than on things of this world. That's another way you can tell whether or not your heart is right, is look at what you're running after most of the time. Because the Scripture says in Matthew, I can't remember where right now, but the Scripture says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in earthly things, if that's what you're focusing on, if that's what your heart is after, is earthly things, if that's what your goal is, if that's what you're longing for, if that's what you're running after every day, is earthly things, then understand your heart is not right. And when your heart is not right, you're on a path that will lead to destruction in your life. And so it is that the Word of God tells us that we need to set our affection on things above. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, here's what the Word of God says. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, as he writes to the Gentiles, he speaks about the Jews. And he says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, brethren, he's writing to the Gentiles who are brethren, he says to the Gentiles, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, brethren, that's an evidence of a healthy heart. That's an evidence of a good heart. That's an evidence that your heart is right, is if you want your brethren to be saved. Brethren, I want America to be saved. I do not want America to be destroyed. If you want America to be destroyed, your heart's not right. The Apostle Paul knew that the Jewish nation was about to be broken off, and yet the Apostle Paul, as he had such a great love for those people, and I'm talking about children of God who were among the Jewish nation, who had a, if you go home and read this 10th chapter, you'll find that these people, that he wanted to be saved, they were already saved eternally, but they needed to be saved to a knowledge of the truth of salvation by grace and not of works. And my heart's desire and your heart's desire ought to be that our brethren would be saved. And if you want your brethren to be saved, you need to be learning enough about the truth that you can save them from the error of their way. The Apostle Paul went from house to house. Everywhere Paul went, you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to save his brethren. He was trying to save them from the error of their way. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, he says, "For I bear them record," speaking about these Jews, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." I'm sorry, that may not be the fourth verse. That's the second verse. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, did they have a zeal of God? Did they love God? They did love God. They already loved God. They were already born of the Spirit of God, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So they're born again, children of God, but they are in error because they do not know that Jesus has saved them from their sins. Jesus was a stumbling block to the Jews. They just did not believe that he could be the Messiah. They kept wanting to know, if you're the Messiah, where's your kingdom? Because Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, they had prophesied when the Messiah comes, he was going to set up his kingdom, and they did not see how Jesus could be a king, and they did not see how he could have a kingdom when he was so poor in this world's goods. He says, "I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You see, do you see what he wanted them saved to? He wanted them saved to a knowledge that Jesus paid it all. And brethren, quite frankly, I believe that there is just as much ignorance among God's people in America today as there was among the Jews. I'm talking about among church-going Christians today. There's just as much ignorance of the truth as there was in the days of the Apostle Paul. Now, my feeling is that Paul's heart was right, and he wanted his brethren to be saved. And Paul worked. Listen, if your heart, you might say, well, you know, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for America that it might be saved. If your heart's desire and prayer is the same as Paul's is, you're going to be working night and day to try to save America. You will. You'll be working just as hard as you can to save your brethren from the error of their way. To save them to a knowledge of the truth that Jesus is the Christ, and when he came into the world, he accomplished what he came to do, to teach them and instruct them in the completed work of Jesus Christ, to teach them the eternal security that God's people have because of the blood of Christ, to teach them that they will not be in the eternal heaven because of anything they've done. They will not be in the eternal heaven because they remain faithful to God. They will be in the eternal heaven only because of the amazing grace of God and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to get anybody to heaven. All your good works don't get you or anybody else to eternal heaven. Amen. They do bless you to dwell in the kingdom of heaven while you live here in this world. They do bless you to have fellowship with God. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, "Oh, how I wish they could find the peace that I have in my soul, that Jesus paid it all." Right. Paul was in error in his beliefs. He was a leader in the Jews' religion. God opened his eyes and he saw the truth. And now he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire." Do you think he prayed that Israel could be saved? Do you think he prayed a lot for them? You think that's all he did was pray? No. He prayed and he worked and he labored. In fact, he makes this statement. In essence, he says, you know, Lord, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for Israel, my brethren. I think he's saying there the same thing that Moses did back there in the Old Testament when God told Moses he was about to bring the Jews into a destruction, and Moses said, Lord, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Don't let this nation of Israel die. Blot me out of thy book, but let them live. You see, isn't that the way you feel about your children and your grandchildren? God, please, I want them saved to a knowledge of the truth. The children, your grandchildren, the brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what your prayer ought to be about any brother or sister in Christ that's in error and going away from God right now? It ought to be, my heart's desire and prayer is that they would be saved. You know what you better be doing? If you care about them, you will be doing this. Let me tell you something very clearly. If there are members of this church that are not coming to the house of God, if there are members of this church that are lukewarm and indifferent, and you're not doing anything, your heart is not right. If you're not working to save them, praying is one thing and working and laboring, but you need to do everything you can to save your brethren from the error of their way. And if you don't care about them, if you just want them gone, you just want to get them off the church roll, if that's your desire, your heart's not right. The desire ought to be that they might be saved. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's another way that you can tell whether or not your heart is right is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. If your heart is right, you're going to be helping other people. You're going to be giving to other people. And let me tell you something, brethren. You cannot take your tithes and give them to other people. I've known people that told me, I'm not tithing, I'm giving my money to my children because they need more money than the church does. Well, that kind of a thought and belief is contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. I ought to give to my children. I ought to give to my children. It's a responsibility I have. When they're in need and they need help, I ought to give to them. But giving to my children is something, and giving to anyone else and everyone else, all of that giving has nothing to do with what you owe God in your tithes and offerings. I owe God my tithes and offerings. And the question is asked, in Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You don't give your tithes and offerings? Do you know how many of you I've checked up on to see if you're paying your tithes and offerings? You know how many of you I've checked up on? Been here 30 years. I have never checked on a single one of you. Never. A lot of different reasons for that, but I'm telling you, brethren, you know if you're not tithing, you're robbing from God, because I preach that quite regularly. You're robbing from God. I don't care if this church has $100 million in the bank. That does not give you any leeway in giving your tithes and offerings to the church. You're to bring them into the storehouse. Now, you're giving to people is separate completely from your tithes and offerings.
That's right.
Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. The Word of God says, every man, let me read verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Do some people want to know just how little they have to give? I get so tickled at people that say, now, Brother Billy, do I have to give before taxes or after taxes on my tithe? Do I need to include the insurance that they take out? What about if they take out for union dues? Do I have to include that as part of my tithe? What about this and that and the other? Let me tell you something, brethren. Some people want to see just how chintzy they can be with their giving. What does the Word of God say here? He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And this is in giving now. This doesn't have anything to do with tithing. This is in giving. Tithe is something you owe. Giving is something you do beyond the tithe. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he shall that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his what? According as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You want to know what kind of heart he is? Is your heart right? If you find great joy in giving to people, if you find great joy in helping people, if it thrills your soul to give and to give the way Jesus taught to give, if you give and then you tell other people what you're doing, you're nothing but a hypocrite and a Pharisee. But if you give, not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing, if you're giving and you're helping people and you're giving bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you're giving in the right spirit and for the right purpose, giving your time, giving your money, giving your energy, if you're giving, it's an indication that you've got a good heart. Good heart. Is your heart right? I think it can be determined to a great degree by how much giving you do. Your heart being right can be determined to a great degree by how much you're praying for and helping other people. Your heart, is your heart right? Is your heart right? You know what Ephesians 5:19 says? You know this, because any of you that have ever called me about being discouraged or despondent, you know what I've always said. If you call me for the next, if I'm around 20 years from now, it'll be the same thing. When you're depressed, what do you want? What do you need to do? What do you need to do? It's a four-letter word. What do you need to do every time you get depressed and discouraged?
Sing.
Sing. Sing. Sing. Sing. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And then it tells you how to be filled with the Spirit. Singing. And making melody in your heart. Making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. Is thine heart right? If your heart is not singing and making melody to the Lord, your heart is not right. That's another way you can determine. That's another test that you can determine whether or not your heart is right or not. There are a lot of other ways that as you look at the Word of God, you'll find that you can give yourself a test to see whether or not your heart is right. I want to, in closing, and there are a lot of other things on my mind, but I want to, in closing, I want to mention two things. Let's go back to second. Go back in your Bibles very quickly. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Listen carefully now in closing. 2 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 15. When Jehu met Jehonadab, Jehu said to Jehonadab, listen, in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 15, Jehu said to Jehonadab, "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" Now, I've just been concentrating so far in our study today on "Is thine heart right?" I've just been concentrating on us looking at our heart and determining whether or not our heart is right. But do you hear what Jehonadab said? It would be like me saying to Brother Robbie, "Brother Robbie, do you love me like I love you? Do you have anything against me? You mad at me about anything in the world? And I'm not mad at you about anything." And that's what Jehu said to Jehonadab. He said, "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" Jehu would say, "I love you, Jehonadab. I love you. And I hope your heart is right as my heart is with thy heart." You understand, all of us as brethren, you know what? We need to have that same kind of feeling one for another. Don't you ever, ever, ever let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're upset with anybody, get it straightened out before you go to sleep tonight. If you don't, your heart's not right. And after he said, "Is thine heart right?" he says, what did Jehonadab say? Just two words. What did he say? What was Jehonadab's answer to Jehu? What did he say? "It is. My heart's right. I love you like you love me." And then he said, "If it be so," that is, "if it be." If it be, that is, if your heart is right, he says, "Give me thine hand." I believe this is where handshaking began. When we greet one another, what do we do, Brother Andy? Well, we have to do more. I don't think we've ever just shook hands. What do we do? We shake hands and hug. We greet one another with a handshake and a hug. You know what we're saying when we give someone our hand? We're saying, my heart is right towards you. And when I reach my hand out to you, that's what I'm saying to you. My heart's right towards you. Is your right heart right towards me? And if your heart's right towards me, what do? You stick your hand out and you shake my hand. Have you ever stuck your hand out to someone and they would not shake your hand? That's happened to me quite a number of times in my life. That I've stuck my hand out and somebody would not shake my hand. Do you know what they were saying when they would not shake my hand? They were saying, that's right, Sister Tony. They were saying, my heart is not right towards you. And I'm not going to shake your hand. Some people, did you know it's been weeks and weeks since I've seen some people, spoken to some people. You know where they go out? Go out a different door. I go weeks without ever getting to speak, never get to shake their hand. And you can come up with all kinds of reasons you want to about why you have to leave church earlier or get away or run. But listen, brethren, if you love me and if I love you, you know what we need to do? We need to shake hands. If your heart's right, Jonadab said, if your heart's right, give me your hand. And then the scripture says, and he gave him his hand and he took him up to him into the chariot. You see, they both were together now, sitting in the chariot. You remember when Peter was going into the temple, and I'll close with this one verse of scripture. When Peter was going into the temple, you remember what kind of man was laying outside the temple? What kind of man was laying there? A lame man, couldn't walk. And he was asking for money, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And the scripture says that Peter reached down with his right hand and lifted him up. And the man rose up and sang and rejoiced and walked and praised God. If your heart's right, you reach down and help some people up, because there are a lot of people in this community that need helping up. There are a lot of people that are cast down. There are a lot of lame people in this community, and they need some helping. They need a helping hand. If your heart's right, your hand is going to go out towards those who stand in special need. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen.